focus in now on Saturday night in harness racing. It's the Inter-Dominion Championships for the Pacers and the Trotters at Tabcorp Park, Melton, on the outskirts of Melbourne. And Greg Hayes is joining us first up. Morning to you, Hazy.
Good morning to you, Hoss. You've turned the weather on for me towards the end of the week. What's going on? It hasn't rained for 2 weeks.
Well, there's got to be something in Melbourne when it gets close, but let's hope it's over by Saturday night. And Adam Hamilton is joining us from the airport in Sydney. He's meant to be on at 10 o'clock, but Adam from Tab Fixed Odds, I reckon that plane will be late, won't it?
Oh, guys, seriously, I'm not sure when I'll get back to Melbourne. Hopefully, there's no issues getting back in time for this final. It's a bit challenging, but all jokes aside, can't wait for Saturday night. You know, I just love the fact that these draws were done early on Monday, and all of the discussion and market moves and banter and tactical talk that's been playing out over the week. You know what, I think there's a real merit there to say the thoroughbred should look at getting their fields out for major races earlier, Andrew, and just as Perth did for their majors, getting them out on the Monday. I just think it's great discussion and it's free publicity for the races. So anyway, we're here talking about Inter-Dominion. Yeah. We have had a week to talk about both finals.
We're going to talk to Mark Purden and hopefully Gavin Lang in the next 20, 25 minutes about it. But I want to sit back here. I want to sit back and listen to the experts. Hazy and Adam Hamilton talking about it. Let's talk about the pacing final. Saturday night at 9:45. Spankham number 5 is the favourite at the moment, 3:30 over Cruise Bromac 3:60. I'm Pat's Delight at 5. Galactic Star, the pole horse, has drawn 7. Tiger Tara for Kev Pizzuto, $9, along with San Carlo. And they're the main ones in the market. Then gets out to $30-odd. Hazy and Adam, which one am I going to back here? I'll start with you, Hazy.
Well, I've been, since Let It Ride came out of the series, I've been with Spankham. But Adam, I think we could see a change of favourite by the time that the race goes. The money has come for Cruise Bromac quite solidly since the barrier draw was conducted, despite Cruise Bromac drawing less favourably than his stablemate.
Hazy, to me, I think there was a massive overreaction to Spankham drawing the front row. It's not a great draw 5. He's a good beginner. He's not a blazing beginner. He's got two fast beginners and key players inside of him, in Galactic Star in 1 and I'm Pat's Delight in 3. So It hasn't surprised me at all that almost on a daily basis we're seeing Spankham's price get out. Now, I'm not putting him down as a horse. He's probably, or he has been, the find of the series, and no horse has gone better through it. But that doesn't mean he's a standout for the final, because there is no standout in this series. It's a tricky draw for him. He's going to have to do a lot of work to win the race. And I genuinely think that this is a $4 the field type race, this. I wouldn't entertain backing anything less than $4. And in fact, I'm trying to go for a little bit of value, and I'm a little bit biased towards those that have got the good draws and could potentially be right on the pace. The two that I'm zeroing in on as we get closer to the race is Galactic Star in 1. He just continues to drift, but he's getting out to a very attractive and backable price now. And my top pick is actually on Pat's Delight, Hazy. I know you got a really, really good push from Crown Dalgety. If they can get to the front, they want to hold the lead. There's a real sort of ring of confidence around Gavin Lang and his belief in this horse. It would be out of character for Gavin to drive aggressively in a major race, but I think he needs to. I think if he gets the front off Galactic Star, and it won't happen straight away, but if he does get to the front, I think he's got to put up the don't argue sign and just say, if I'm good enough, I'll be able to cop a little bit of heat and bleed throughout.
It was very interesting in that final heat with Gavin Lang and I'm Pat's Delight, because it was a situation where Gavin didn't have to be aggressive with I'm Pat's Delight, but he was from the start. He stayed as soon as he could. He got off the inside. He was aggressive. He followed Cruise Bromac throughout. And he said, basically straight after the race, that if I'd had the run that Cruise Bromac had, I would have held Cruise Bromac, swapped the runs, put me in front of Cruise Bromac, I would have held Cruise Bromac. So Gav could have given I'm Pat's Delight the soft option. He'd already qualified for the final, didn't have to do anything. There were no bonus points for any heroics, but he was out there to give I'm Pat's Delight a really good hit out in that final heat. So very interesting tactics from Gavin going into that final heat. And Gavin Lang hasn't won an Inter-Dominion pacing final. And it's probably...
amazing.
There's not too many big races that Gavin Lang hasn't won, and it is one that he would like to, no doubt, put on the mantelpiece.
Yeah, and he can't assume that he's going to get a lot more chances. He's still driving as well as ever, but he is 60 years of age now, and this drive almost landed in his lap from his longtime friend, Cran Dalgetty. So he will absolutely want to seize the opportunity. Just back to what you said last Saturday night, I think two reasons for Gavin being as aggressive as he was in a heat where he didn't need to be. One, he felt that the horse was absolutely thriving during the series and could do with another good, strong hit out. And I think he wanted to find out a little bit more about On Pat's Delight if it got a bit rough and ready in the race as well. So, and I think he found that. He was buzzing after the race with confidence if he got a good draw for the final. So, you know, we know there's a big belief out there that if On Pat's Delight gets the lead, then in New Zealand style, he'll hand up to something else, and that might be Spankham, and then does Cruise Bromac come round? But this is Aussie racing. This is Melton. It's not Addington. The Kiwis do adapt their tactics to Aussie style racing, and this is an Aussie driver on Pat's Delight. It's not Ricky May or one of the Kiwis who almost drive with a little bit of fear and being intimidated by Natalie or Mark in big races.
Can I ask you the reaction to the market? Spankham, you know, earlier in the week you could have got 280, it's now 330. And Cruise Promac, you could have got 480, it's now 360. Has that gone with the decisions of the drivers? Have punters rallied to Natalie Rasmussen, Greg?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit in that. And the fact that Natalie has been over here and she's obviously had the success that she's had through the series, and all of a sudden it was announced that, yep, Nat's going to be on Cruise Bromac. And, you know, look, there's no, you know, Mark Purden's had great success in the Inter-Dominion the last 2 years. But the fact that Nat has, you know, said, I'm with Cruise Bromac, and there's something in that for sure, Adam, isn't there?
Yeah, well, she's unbeaten in the horse on five drives. She's got a real affinity with him. He's a horse that could get very rough in his gait, but we've virtually seen no signs of that while Natalie's been driving him in races. So the other factor is all of the talk about the early speed in the race, you know, that pressure that could be there on Galactic Star and from On Pat's Delight and Spankham going forward and Tiger Tara, who bizarrely we haven't even mentioned at this stage.
He's drawn
outside the front row. This is a horse that was a long-time favourite to win the final. He's getting out to, you know, $8.59, and he only knows one way. They can't go back on him. He's got to be put into the firing line. So all of that expectation and talk about early pressure in the race and perhaps pressure through the middle stages, I think the punters are saying, well, who's going to be the one horse that won't be part of it and will be camped back off them? And the best horse who is going to be in that scenario is Cruise Bromac. But let's not overreact to him. I think he's starting to get into almost a crazy price now as well, because you know the leaders around Melton, doesn't matter if it's 2700, but pace those horses up on the pace around Melton, they only need a sniff of a quiet 400 metres, and the back markers won't be able to get into the race course.
Understand. All right, so let's get your thoughts. Hazy, what are your numbers here in the final?
Well, look, I put out a stat yesterday. The Purden Rasmussen team have had 14, they've been involved in 14 Group 1 races further than 2,400 metres in the last 12 months. They've won 10 of them.
Jeez.
So they just dominate races when it gets over a mile and a half. So I'm going Spankham to beat Cruise Bromac. For third, I've thrown in I'm Pat's Delight and Tiger Tara for fourth.
Okay, so Greg's numbers in race 8 at Melton Saturday night, the Pacers final, 5, 9, 3, and 7. What about you, Adam?
Yeah, I'm going to go for, and I think this sums up the race. And if you ask someone else, like Jason Bonington, he'd probably see it totally differently. I'm going to go for I'm Pat's Delight to beat 3, I'm Pat's Delight to beat Galactic Star. I'm actually going to put San Carlo in for third. He's a horse we haven't mentioned. Jury's out on him through the series, but instead of working, he's going to sit either leaders back or more likely three back the pegs, which would be a great spot to be. And then I'm going to put Spankham in for fourth. So unbelievably, you know, I might be completely embarrassed having left Cruz Bromac out of the top four, but I'm playing to the horses who I think will be on the marker pegs and right up on the speed in this race. So I'm Pat's Delight to beat Galactic Star.
3, 1, 8, and 5. That's the Pacers' final. The race before that on Saturday night, just after 9:05, is the Trotters' final. It's been good to see the Trotters and the Pacers back together again. Tornado Valley is the shorty here at $1.70. Off gate 6 from Speeding Spur, who's drawn the inside, Greg, at $3.20.
I don't think I've ever been more confident going into a feature race. I think Tornado Valley wins this and wins this race quite comfortably. I know things nearly went wrong in the final heat at Cranbourne when the wrap came away and it was fluttering in the breeze and it could have been stepped on, or the wheel could have got caught up in the wheel. But that's the only thing that could go wrong. The horse is trotting so well at the moment. He can sit outside Speeding Spur and beat him. The 2700 is no dramas. He'll work forward. If he sits in the breeze, he'll still win the race. I just can't see him being beaten. Speeding Spur, happy to sit outside him. He'll stop all the moves. There's no horse that wants to come and put any pressure on him. He controls the race. I just think he's the winner. Number 6, Tornado Valley, Kate and Andy Gath, to get some Inter-Dominion glory.
Are you feeling the same way, Adam?
Probably not quite with the overwhelming confidence that that Greg has, but I see all of his points. I mean, sometimes we can overanalyze things, and if we just look at, if you go back and you had no history in your mind and you simply look purely on the performances through the heat, you would say there's one horse who's on a different level to the rest, and it's Tornado Valley. But he has been able to find the front in all the races. There's a terrific chance he'll have too much speed early and get to the front. There's also a realistic chance that Speeding Spur won't want to get into a war, and he might be happy to trail him, make him work a little bit, but then take a trail on him. The 2700 is a little bit of a leveller. I think Speeding Spur has lost a little bit of his point-to-point speed as he's got older and he's had his injuries. But if it is a solidly run 2700, and Tornado Valley did get a little keen, which he can do sometimes in his races, then, you know, if they happen to get up the straight in a war of attrition, I think it would give Speeding Spur a hope. And I think it would also give Tough Monarch some sort of hope as well, because if Speeding Spur leads, Tough Monarch will be on his back. If Speeding Spur's crossed by Tornado Valley, Tough Monarch will be three pegs. But, you know, I know I'm having a little bit each way. He is a total standout, but I just don't think it's an absolute, you know, put in and take out job on Tornado Valley, because, you know, just because he may have to do a fair bit more work than he's done in the heat.
Understand. Adam, Mark Purden's about to join us, so we'll leave you at the airport. I hope you can jump on a plane at some stage once Melbourne's weather clears, but have a terrific Saturday night at Melton.
Yeah, just make sure when you speak to Mark Purden, I know it's all about the Inter Dominion, but you've got to ask his opinion of a horse called Ultimate Sniper, who Tony Hurler, he's driving for the stable at Alexandra Park tomorrow night. Both Mark and Natalie separately have the vibe in their voice is that this could be their next Lazarus, Ultimate Sniper. So you've got to ask him about that horse as well.
He's listening. You'll probably start answering it as soon as I throw to him. Good on you, Adam. We'll see you trackside Saturday night.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Adam Hamilton there from tab.com.au and a lover of harness racing. Mark Purden in New Zealand, good morning.
Good morning, Andrew.
We don't worry about Saturday night. Can you help us with Friday night? We need a snip of money before Saturday night. Ultimate Sniper. What's the tag on this one, Mark?
He goes pretty good, Andrew, but I don't think you'll get a return on him. I think he'll be pretty short. So he's handled by Tony Hurley tomorrow night. So pressure's on Tony.
I'm asking questions really nervously because I don't know a lot about the horse. I should let Hazy ask, but how good can he be?
Oh, he's a very exciting horse. He probably looks like the best 3-year-old in the country, I would say. So far, he's got a couple of big tomorrow night and the 31st, another two big races. But he's unbeaten to date, Andrew, and his winners in the Sire Stakes final was just outstanding for the time they went.
That win on Cup Day was unbelievable, Mark. Adam put him, you know, said he could be the next Lazarus in the stable. Where, you know, that's a pretty big wrap to put on him. Where do you see his future? Will he come to Australia in 2019?
Yeah, I think there's probably a good chance we'll see him in Sydney for the Derby there, Greg. Okay. Well, we'll get through this carnival, and the 31st we'll make a final decision. But that's the way I'm leaning. We get him back home, give him a little freshen up, and have set him for Sydney.
All right, well, we'll watch for that tomorrow night, Ultimate Sniper at Alexandra Park. We've got you mainly to talk about this terrific race, the Inter-Dominions. Mark, from just a bit of an old-timer watching harness racing, it's been good, the Inter-Dom, having the old-fashioned series this year.
Yes, yeah, that's right. And Perth conducted the same format, but I think everyone likes it that way. I think it's a test of horsemanship and a test of the horse as well. And, I like the format the way it is.
Now, the market has reacted. We've been discussing whether it's, you know, what you've decided with drivers, which one you're driving and things like that. The market has changed a little bit. Spankham is still favourite, but Cruz Bromac is really tightening in behind the stable mate now. Can you tell us how you came about who was going to drive who?
Well, I'd probably had more to do with Spankham than Nat has, and previously anyway to the series, and she's got an unbeaten record on Cruz Bromac, so it was a pretty amicable decision between the spoke, but she stuck with Cruz Bromac and I drive Spankham.
Mark, Spankham, he seems to have come a long way in a short time. You made the decision to miss the New Zealand Cup with him. Was the Inter-Dominion a late thought for Spankham, or was it a decision that was always in the back of your mind with him?
Well, we had nominated him, Greg, and it was just we make our sort of decisions after Cup week. And initially, my first thought was, no, he's only a four-year-old. We should perhaps bypass it and maybe go along another path. But, when I talked with Matt and we thought about it a bit more, we knew one thing for certain, and that was the three runs in a week wouldn't worry him. And that was probably the final decision that swayed us into coming, into starting him, was we knew the three heats in a week just wouldn't worry him and probably improve him.
And that's saying that he's put a little bit of weight on too while he's been over here. So he's obviously enjoying the constant racing. He's drawn the front row. What sort of gate speed does he have if you really ask him?
Oh, look, he'd come out with them, but there's a bit of speed inside him. Mac Doro's very fast, so he wouldn't go with him, but he'd be right there anyway, Greg, without having a lot of speed.
And what about the cagey Kiwi Crandell Getty? He spoke with Hazy on Tuesday and said, we're going out. Gavin's going out lickety-split there with I'm Pat's Delight. Is that just a throw-up from Cran or not?
Well, it's more than likely. You and I know Cran pretty well, so I'd say more than likely it's a throw-up.
It'll be interesting, I tell you, because we've just been discussing it. It isn't Gavin. It normally isn't Gavin's way to burst out of the blocks, is it, Gavin Lang?
That's right. Yeah, we might believe it if we can get Gavin to second it.
What about Nat's? Nat's obviously had a fantastic period since she's been here in Australia, and everything's gone so well for her. She's obviously enjoying her time. Cruz Bromac is racing so well for her. Do you think that the decision for her to drive Cruz Bromac, is she going? She's saying on the website, on your All Stars website, that she's going with Cruz Bromac because she's got this affinity with Cruz Bromac in the time that she's been here. Do you believe that, or do you believe that she's going with Cruz Bromac because she thinks it's the best chance?
Well, No, she has got the affinity with him, and when we when he first came to the barn, he was a little bit hard to rate. You sort of you could warm him up, and once you turned him, you were just a passenger. And anyway, he got better and better. Not that Nat had a lot to do with him in the early stages, but probably over the last sort of four weeks or so, 5 weeks, she has, and she's got on very well with the horse. So yeah, for that reason, that was the main reason I think she wished to stick with him.
Does Nat tend to do a lot with the, let's for want of a better term, the problem childs or problem children in the stables? Because I know obviously she used to work Heaven Rocks, and does she get the hard ones to deal with?
Oh no, not necessarily. No, but Heaven Rocks was always a handful, and I drove him right through his 3 year old, so he had a pretty good record at the end of his 3 year old career. Yeah, then he clashed with Lazarus, so then we were looking for another driver for it.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Hey, Mark, yeah. What about yourself? You know, you get horses into good races, and we talk about drivers. Natalie, you know, your partner is obviously has made a life as a driver. But what about Mark Purton? Do you still enjoy getting out there and driving, or is it more the training arm for Mark Purton these days?
It's getting to that stage, Andrew. Like, I still enjoy it, and there's nothing better than driving in a race like an Inter-Dominion or a New Zealand Cup and things like that. But I'm 54 now, so I've always said to Nat, when I'm 55, I want to take a step back. So, and that's the way it'll work out. But as I say, it's still a great thrill to drive in a race like an Inter-Dominion or a New Zealand Cup or a Derby.
Yep.
So is Nat... Is Nat taking a step back with you, or is she going to be still as busy as she is now?
No, I hope she'll still be as busy as she is now, Greg.
if you're giving it up, I reckon she'll be busier. Okay. Does Nat know that?
No. She's in Melbourne. Melbourne, is it?
No, we'll send her a copy of it, though. You know, Hazy's pretty strong. He'll stand strong, but he'll still send her a copy. Hey, mate, we wish you the best. I mean, Lazarus comes along. You sell to America for the reasons that have been well documented. The Interdom comes along. You never know whether you're going to end up with the right horse at the right time. And here you are with the two favourites in the race. I mean, it's a remarkable game, racing.
Yes, that's right, It's really a testament to Natalie's ability, you know, how she's driven them through the heats, and they've never been hurt. And I've just, after talking to her after each run, she was telling me how well they've been after each run. And it's just the fact that she's got them through the heats and she hasn't hurt them. She looked after them and just driven them to perfection.
Yeah, understand. Mate, we wish you the best tomorrow night at Alexandra Park with all of those good paces you've got going around, particularly Ultimate Sniper, and good luck on Saturday night. Thanks for your time, Mark.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Good on you. Mark Purden joining us there in our preview for the Inter-Dominion Grand Finals, the pacing and the trotting at Tabcorp Park, Melton on Saturday night. You'll get a big coverage here on Sky Sports Radio, and the whole team, Hazy, including yourself and Adam and Jason Bonington, all there on Sky Racing 1 as well.
And Gareth. They're flying Gareth in for the big show as well.
Gareth Hall as well.
Unbelievable.
Gee, it is going to be a big show. Will all of you get on? Mate, all the best, and thanks for dropping in.
No problems at all.
Good on you.